Gracious Father, as we open up your word, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. Father, hearts to long that we would be changed and transformed more and more into the image of Christ. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, lead us in this work. We cannot do it without you. But Father, as we pray this morning, I want to lift up, Father, those who were injured the other night in the shooting at the nightclub. Father, I ask that you would bring healing to those who have been shot, Lord, those who are still in the hospital. Father, I ask that you would break into the violence and bring peace into this city. Jesus, I pray that we at St. Andrews would, by your grace, become more and more a people of peace. That where we go, where we live, where we lurk, where we work, where we play, that we would bring the peace of Christ. And through that work of your Spirit, that you would transform this city, Father. Deal with the violence among us. Father, help us not turn away, but go where you call us to go. Father, we also thank you this weekend as we celebrate our nation's independence. We thank you for the freedoms that we have. I pray that we would not think lightly of those, Father. For we have the freedom to worship you as we are this morning. And I know that we have brothers and sisters around this world who cannot. I pray that you protect them. You watch over them, keep them safe. Father, fill them with the fullness of your Spirit, that as they minister in those countries where the gospel is not welcome, Father, use them to be the light of Christ and remind them that the gates of hell will not prevail. Father, we bless you. For when we think of freedom, we think of ultimately the freedom we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, may we not neglect that freedom, but may we live out of it in its fullness. So we surrender all of this to you. Thank you for your presence through your Spirit among us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning, we're going to be leaning into spiritual gifts. If you've been with us, or if this is your first time, let me tell you where we've been. We've been on a journey the last probably 2 months of looking at the Holy Spirit. As I've said at the beginning, this third person of the Trinity who is often misunderstood and neglected. And so we've been looking deeply at what does God's Word say about the Holy Spirit. And now this morning we're going to begin to lean into some of the spiritual gifts, in particular the ones that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Let me remind you what a spiritual gift is. One defined it this way. A spiritual gift is any ability that's empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. It's a gift that we're given by the Holy Spirit that we would use for the edification, for the building up of the body of Christ, of the church. Now, these spiritual gifts that we have are not to be given to us that we would pride ourselves in and say, look what I have, I've got this gift or this gift. But they're to be used with grace and humility for other people, not for ourselves. For Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each is given a manifestation of the Spirit, a gift of the Spirit, or multiple gifts of the Spirit for the common good. And what he's meaning there is for the building up of the church. Now, I want you to think about that. For those of you who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ here, what if you really understood your spiritual gifts? And what if you not just understood them, but you used them, you exercised them regularly? Could you imagine how this body would flourish all the more? God's work is here. I see God. I see this place flourishing. I see lives flourishing here. But I think all the more we would be a church built up for the glory of the Lord as we exercise the gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And what I believe, too, is as we do, those who come in and visit St. Andrews who aren't followers of Jesus will come in and see something radically different than they would other way at other places. They would see people loving one another. They would see people building one another up, encouraging one another. They would see and experience the Spirit of God. And God uses that as we worship on Sunday mornings, as he brings the nations in, that they would be drawn to him. So it matters that we understand what spiritual gifts are. It matters that we understand the spiritual gifts that we have been given. Well, this morning we're going to look at two in particular that are mentioned. I'm going to read the passage in a minute. And we're going to look at the gifts, words of wisdom and words of knowledge. Now, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to unpack various spiritual gifts. We're going to look at the ones that Paul mentions here in 1 Corinthians 12, because they're the ones that are most misunderstood in the church today. They're the ones that I think a lot of people are most fearful of today. They're known as the revelatory gifts or charismatic gifts. Paul mentions them here. Let me read them so you can hear what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll start in verse 4. For Paul writes, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given the Spirit of utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions each to one individually as he wills." Now, some of you may be sitting here this morning going, "Oh my goodness, what is he about to get into?" And that's okay. Because, friends, listen, we need clarity into what the Word of God says. And so we're going to unpack these gifts. 3 points of clarity before we dive into the two I mentioned just a minute ago, okay? Because I think we need to lay a foundation, not just for these two we're going to look at today, but a foundation for the other gifts that we're going to look at in the weeks ahead. So the first point of clarity is this. I want to say that many theologians refer to these gifts as revelatory gifts. Some will refer to them as charismatic gifts or miraculous gifts. So I want to bring clarity to the term revelatory gifts. When you think of revelation through Scripture, what we have to understand is that's what God has spoken to us through His Word. Now, when I say revelatory gifts, these gifts are revelatory gifts. That's not on the same par as the revelation that God spoke into Scripture. You see, there's no new revelation today, and you and I have to understand that. The canon is closed. The 66 books of the Bible are complete. There's nothing else that God needs to speak in for you and me to understand two particular things: understanding how we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and how we walk in godliness. God has spoken. His Word contains everything we need to come to faith in Christ and to walk in godliness. So when you think of revelation in that sense, there is no new revelation from the Lord. He has spoken all that we need to know, okay? And so what we find in His Word is God most clearly, most directly speaks to us from His Word. Now, I've said this many times, that the difficulty and challenge for many of us is this just gets stuck on a shelf, and it sits there. And many of us have numerous Bibles in our homes, but they just sit around. And we sometimes wonder, why are we not hearing from the Lord? Why are we not getting clarity? Well, I think the main reason is because we're not going to the Word where God is revealing Himself and leading us into godliness. But I will say this, I don't believe that's the only way that God speaks to us today. I believe that Scripture makes it clear that through the Holy Spirit, God speaks in other ways as well. And I believe He speaks to us through these other gifts. Now, let me distinguish this. Let me bring some clarity. When I say revelatory gifts, it's not new revelation. In other words, it's a term better understood in this way. It refers to the guidance and illumination that the Lord is giving us. You see the difference? It's guidance and illumination that the Lord is giving us. It'll become more clear as we unpack these two gifts in a minute. But when I think about the Lord giving us guidance and illumination, I think about the Lord coming to encourage us at various times in our walk, right? I'm talking about God coming and challenging us at times. We all need that. God strengthening us in our faith. So that hopefully brings some clarity when you hear the word revelatory gifts. There's no new revelation from the Lord. But what the Lord does bring to us today is guidance and illumination. The second point of clarity is this. When talking about these gifts, I recognize that not everybody believes that these gifts are still in operation today. There's some here that would hold a view that's known as the cessationist view. And that view means that the canon, when it was closed, and when the apostles died, those gifts that you see displayed in the book of Acts from Pentecost all ended. Those revelatory gifts, okay? Those ended. Those are no longer around today. Others would hold to what is called a continuous view. They would say the gifts are still around today as they were in the book of Acts. All those gifts are still in operation today. And still others would hold a view that would be called open but cautious. I'm open, but I'm cautious about it. But I also recognize this morning there are going to be some of you in here who've never thought about it before. And so maybe this is new. But what I hope is to be faithful to God's word, to unpack what his word says about these gifts. Friends, I'll say this. This is challenging stuff for many of us. As a couple of people said when they walked out of the first service, they said, "This is tough. We need to talk." And I said, "Call me." I said, "I would love to talk." Because there's a lot that's been written. Are these gifts still in operation today, or have these gifts ceased? I'm not going to get into the debate over those this morning or the other Sundays. We can talk offline if you would like. But I'm going to be coming from the perspective that I believe these gifts are still in operation today. Now, you need to know this about me. I haven't always thought that. For many, many years, I thought that I held to that cessationist view, that those gifts of the Spirit had ceased. I'd never given it a ton of study, although I had studied it some, but to be honest with you, the reason why I really thought that those gifts had ceased is because I saw people misusing those gifts, and it really offended me, and it turned me off. And so I thought, well, I've heard people, I've read different theologians say that they've ceased, and I get that. But what really turned me off was people misusing them, so I just went with the mode of those gifts have ceased. Well, as the Lord would do for not just me, but for all of us as we follow him, he grows us. And he grows us in his word, and things that we understood one way, we begin to get clarity as we dive in to the scriptures and go even deeper. And as I've done that over the past many years and studied this, I've come to the conclusion that I believe these gifts are in operation in the church today. And I believe that these gifts should be regularly practiced in the church today. And I believe these gifts are not something that we should be afraid of today. Because used in their proper way, friends, I believe build up the body of Christ. And that's why I want to spend some time looking at these gifts. Let me say this. You do not have to believe that these gifts are still in operation today to be a member of St. Andrew's Church. Okay? So if you're wrestling with this going, "Robert, I don't believe what you're saying. I'm not convinced, you know." We can still have fellowship together. And that's the beauty of it. Because you have to understand this issue. Now this issue has divided people in churches before. I don't want that to happen with us. What we find is this. This is not a primary issue of fellowship. Now, I want you to think about in this way. I want you to think about concentric circles, okay, and the things that we believe that we've got to believe to have fellowship with one another. So think of this in terms of three concentric circles. The first one at its core are the absolutes of what we who follow the Lord Jesus Christ must believe, okay? And I think those are most clearly articulated in the creeds that we confess Sunday after Sunday, the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. I believe as you read those creeds, that has everything contained in those absolutes, those things that we've got to agree on to call ourselves followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are what I would say non-negotiables, okay? Those are non-negotiables. But then you've got the second circle, and those are what people term convictions, okay? Convictions. Let me give you an example. Baptism. You all who've been around at St. Andrew's long enough know that we baptize infants. We believe that in baptizing infants, they're part of a covenant community that's part of what we find in the Old Testament being carried over into the New Testament. Well, my Baptist brothers and sisters would disagree with me. They would say, no, the right form of baptism is a believer's baptism, that you get baptized after you come to faith in Christ. And we can debate it, and we can look at scriptures, and theologians have written novels on that. On these two different topics. And we can agree to disagree. Jesus will make it clear at one point, one day. I hold my conviction, they hold theirs, and we have fellowship with one another. I think the topic of these revelatory gifts fit into that second circle under convictions. They're important issues, yes, but they're not the primary issue. And so let's not let that become divisive in our body. But then there's the third circle that many would call opinions. And those are things like the type of music one says you ought to listen to, or should you go to this kind of movie or that kind of movie, or how do you educate your kids? There's a whole list of things that can go into that third circle of convictions. Now, where I think the enemy loves to get in the way of a church and break up unity is by us thinking that those other two circles, convictions and opinions, become absolutes. And they just don't, friends. And so we need to understand that. And so as you hear me share these, what I pray is you would come with a posture to listen, search the scriptures for yourself, ask the Lord to bring clarity on issues like this, and stand in your convictions. That's the second one. And the third point of clarity is this. I want to make it clear that as we go through these various gifts, I'm not saying that because we're spending so much time on them that they're more important than the other gifts that Paul mentions elsewhere in his epistles. Okay? Now, one could think that they're more important because we're going to spend a lot of time on them, but hear me say this, they're not more important. There is not a hierarchy of spiritual gifts. If you have the gift of words of knowledge or words of wisdom or prophetic words, that doesn't mean you're more spiritual than someone else. I think the danger in the church is that people have acted as if they are. And not only does it turn people off, it's a misrepresentation of the gifts that the Lord gives. You see, these revelatory gifts are not the main thing. They are important, and that's why we need to understand them. But they're just as important as preaching or teaching or list any of the other gifts that Paul mentions, okay? So I want to make that piece clear. Now, finally, I want to say this before we dive into what these gifts actually are. I recognize for some in here that you, like me, early on, have disregarded these gifts, not necessarily because of a theological standpoint or argument, but you've disregarded these gifts because you've experienced people misusing these gifts. And you've said, well, because people have misused these gifts, they should never be used. They should not be around anymore. I want you to hear this clearly. Misuse and abuse of a gift does not make the gift invalid. Okay? Misuse and abuse of a gift does not make it invalid. And I think Paul makes that very clear in his letter to the Corinthians. If you know anything about that church was an absolute mess. I mean, I won't get into it here because there's mixed crowd in here, but just read the first part of the letter. The things that they were involved in and doing was pretty wretched in many ways. But the crazy thing was, they were filled with all the gifts of the Spirit, and they were exercising all the gifts of the Spirit. And that was beautiful in a way. But when they began to misuse them, Paul didn't say, well, no one should prophesy anymore, no one should speak in tongues anymore. No, what did he say? It's very interesting. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, listen to what he wrote. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And then he goes, especially that you may prophesy. Well, what, they were misusing those? You see, the problem is not the gifts. The problem is the person exercising the gifts. And that's why it's important, friends, that we understand these gifts and how they ought to be used with humility and with grace. All right. With all that said, with that foundation laid, which I think is important for us to begin with, let's take a look now at what Paul writes about words of wisdom and words of knowledge. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, Paul writes, "To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit." Now this is a little challenging, but stay with me. This is the only time those gifts are mentioned. They're not mentioned anywhere else or in any form in the scriptures. And that makes it very difficult to understand how are they to be used? How do we define those gifts? How do we know what those are, Paul? Well, now, there's a principle, friends, that we use when we come upon a piece of Scripture that we do not understand. It's called looking at other passages of Scripture. So what we do is we go to other passages that help bring clarity to a piece of Scripture that we do not fully understand. And I think what you find if you look through the Gospels and you look in the book of Acts and elsewhere is you begin to see how these gifts are actually used and displayed. Before I share some of those with you, let me tell you briefly what these are. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Words of wisdom come when God gives special insight to someone, illumination into a very difficult situation that on their own they cannot make sense of. But it's a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit that He gives someone insight, knowledge, understanding into the situation that their intellect does not feed. That's a word of wisdom. And a word of knowledge is God giving somebody knowledge into someone else's life to bring encouragement to them. So let me give you a couple of examples. One is from the gospel reading in John chapter 1. You can turn there, or if it's actually it's not in your bulletin, it'd be on the screen. But I'll read it. John chapter 1, starting in verse 43. Here we see an example of a word of knowledge. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him of whom Moses and the law, also the prophets, wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Now Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Did you catch that? Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no deceit." How would Jesus know that about him? The Holy Spirit gave him knowledge, understanding into Nathanael's life. And so Jesus was able to know that and speak that. I believe that's a picture of a word of knowledge that we're going to find later on in the book of Acts and that we have today. Let me give you another one. This is in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 1. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, he said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier for you to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'?" How would Jesus know their thoughts? The Holy Spirit gave him illumination into what they were thinking in that moment. I believe that's a picture for us of a word of knowledge. And we find that also in the book of Acts. Let me give you one more example before we look at some examples that I think we see in the church today. This is Acts chapter 9. This is when Ananias is being called to go to Saul, who later became known as Paul. Here's what we read in verse 10 of chapter 9. "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." Sometimes the Lord brings these words of knowledge through a vision. And that's what he did with Ananias, and he also did that with Saul, that he would know what was about to take place. So do you see, friends, that words of knowledge are real things? It's not something for us to be afraid of or fearful of, but it's something that I believe the Lord has for His church to bring understanding. Let me read an excerpt from Charles Spurgeon's autobiography. Charles Spurgeon was not a man known to be a continuous who said that the gifts had continued, although I believe the Holy Spirit gave him this gift, and I think it's very clear in this specific example. So in his autobiography, he notes, he makes a mention of a man as he was preaching one Sunday, and he spoke into this man's life. Here's what we find. This is the man speaking, in a sense, writing this down. "Mr. Spurgeon looked at me as if he knew me. And in his sermon, he pointed to me, and he told the congregation that I was a shoemaker, and that I kept my shop open on Sundays. And I did, sir, and I should not have minded that. But he also said that I took 9 pence the Sunday before, and there was 4 pence profit out of it. I did take 9 pence the day before, and 4 pence was the profit. And how should he know that? I could not tell. Then it struck me that it was God who had spoken to my soul through him. So I shut up my shop the next Sunday. At first, I was afraid to go and hear him again, lest he should tell people more about me. I wouldn't want to either. But afterwards, I went, and the Lord met with me, and he saved my soul." Go figure. Word of knowledge that the Lord gave Charles Spurgeon. In the midst of his sermon, all of a sudden, there's someone out there, and he speaks right to that person. And the Lord, as he would, took that, and he used that to lead this man to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, this is a gift for the church today. Spurgeon adds in his autobiography these words, "I could tell as many as a dozen similar cases in which I pointed at somebody in the hall without having the slightest knowledge of the person or any idea of what I said was right, except I believed I was moved by the Spirit to say it. And so striking has been my description that the persons have gone away and said to their friends, 'Come see a man who told me all the things I ever did.'" Where have you heard that before? John chapter 4, with the woman at the well. You know that story? I love that story. Jesus is at the well, and a woman comes up, and she'd had, I can't remember how many husbands, and the man she was living with wasn't even her husband. And Jesus knew her whole story. And what does she do? She goes back into the village and says almost these exact words, "Come see a man who told me all the things I ever did." How do we make sense of that? Friends, I believe that is the Lord Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, bringing words of knowledge in to draw people to himself. Let me get real practical for a minute. I hope I've not freaked anyone out this morning yet. Maybe there are some who have, but I pray, please keep listening, because I think these are important gifts for the church today. When we exercise these gifts, if the Lord chooses to give you one of these gifts, friends, we must learn to exercise them with humility and grace, not pride, because when the Lord speaks into someone's life, friends, that's a holy moment. And when the Lord gives you, if he so chooses, a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, that ought to put us in the most humble place for us to share with someone. Let me get real practical for a minute. When the Lord gives a word of knowledge, it matters how you communicate it to someone. Don't go around, friends, if the Lord gives you this gift, don't go around and say, "The Lord told me to tell you." That is not how the Lord would have it, and that is not what the Lord intends. But I've had people say that to me. "The Lord told me to tell you." Oh, did he really? Because if you communicate it that way, you're stepping over a very delicate line into revelation. And as I mentioned, there is no new revelation. The Lord illuminates, the Lord speaks into our hearts, but we should not say, "The Lord told me to tell you." A way we ought to communicate this is this. If the Lord gives you a vision, if he gives you a dream for somebody else, pray through that before you go to them. Go to that person. You can say it something like this. "You know, I was praying, and I saw this vision, and I wanted to communicate this with you because I feel like it's the Lord wanting me to share this with you. I don't know fully what it means or what it's about. It may mean nothing to you, but I just wanted to share this with you." Does that make sense? Let me give you an example of how someone did that to me. I don't have this gift, by the way, nor do I believe I have the gift of words of wisdom. but I've seen these operate. A number of years ago, I was going through a time in my life that was pretty difficult, and I'd heard some news from someone that I know very well, and it was so weighty when I heard this news that my first reaction was, Lord, I'm not going to ever laugh again, because it was so weighty. Well, months had passed since that time, and I was at a gathering, and there were a number of clergy around, and we were at a time of prayer, and this one priest from Canada came up to me. I'd only met him once. I didn't even know his name. But he came up to me after this time of prayer, and he said, Robert, when I was praying, I had a vision, a picture of your face, and it was very weighty, and it was very long. And he goes, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I think that you've been going through some really difficult stuff. And I want you to know that you are going to laugh again. And you're going to rejoice again. He said, I don't know if that's real or not, but I want to just share this with you. Take it for whatever it's worth. And I listened to him. He had no idea what I had experienced a few months before. And I took that, friends, as my Heavenly Father graciously coming alongside to me and saying, you will get through this, and you will laugh again, and you will rejoice again. Guidance and illumination from my Heavenly Father. I believe He still speaks in that way. So I want to encourage you, friends, ask the Lord, Lord, would you delight to give me these gifts? He may not. But be open. Search the scripture. Say, God, help me understand this if you do not understand it. And I would say this, friends, if the Lord gives you one of these gifts, I would say begin to practice them. Begin to lean into them. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit showing you things. And if He shows you something for somebody else, pray through it, go to them, share it with them. Sometimes you may be wrong. Now, hear this. God is never wrong, but sometimes we think there's an urging in us that it's God, but it's really me wanting to share someone with someone else, and I think it's from the Lord. We have to be careful with that, but don't let that hinder you from going to someone and saying, I want to share this piece of news with you, because I think the Lord has given it to me to share, and be open to what they have to say. If the Lord gives you one of these gifts, it's not your responsibility to interpret it for that other person. It may make no sense to that person in that moment, but later on, years down the road, it might. Okay? Those are just some practical things to look at. But friends, what I want you to see from this morning is this. I want you to see that the Lord speaks. I want you to see that our Heavenly Father loves us, and He cares deeply for us. When I think about Him as my Heavenly Father, I think about, you know this, the prodigal son. That glorious scene where the father comes and he runs to meet his son. And he gives him the best of all he has, the best robe, the fattened calf. I want you to know that's who our Heavenly Father is. He's not someone who's going to shut up and be silent. When He wants to speak, He will speak. And when He speaks, His words are true. And so what I would encourage you to do with what I've spoken this morning, as I mentioned before, search the scriptures, ask God to give you understanding. And if God so chooses to give you one of these gifts, don't be afraid, lean into it, and allow the Lord to use you to bring encouragement into the lives of others. So let us pray as we close this out. Father, I know this morning that what I have spoken, this is weighty stuff for many in this room. This is new stuff for some in this room. For some in this room, this might likely open up some wounds. Jesus, would you come and minister? Would you come and speak life, healing, peace, clarity? Jesus, I pray that you would bestow upon this church all the gifts that you long for us to have, that we would become, through these gifts and through your grace and sanctifying work in us, a glorious, radiant bride adorned for you. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit. Come speak, come show us, come bring clarity. Bring humility. pray that you would give us an openness to the things you long for us to see, even those things that have been scary, things that we've even witnessed that have been acted on in ways that do not glorify you. Come, Holy Spirit, bring the beauty and the fullness of all your gifts among us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.